Yes, we have been. Welcome to the Edge of the Headlights podcast. Don't give me that look, Marty. My name is Rob, and sitting across from me, being all antisocial like, is Marty. How are we doing tonight, Marty?
I kind of am, man. I've been sick. Yesterday was shit. This morning was shit. Better now.
Oh, you're sick?
I have been, yeah.
Well, great. I'm recording. Thanks. Yeah, thanks. No. I needed that.
You can't catch this. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. What are you talking about?
No. I'm all right now, but yeah, I just fucking worn out and dehydrated.
Oh, you're just complaining. You off air, Marty was telling me about, yeah, he has a friend that asked him why he doesn't drink at a movie theater. He's like, you can't go 2 hours without drinking.
Right.
Then you turn around while we're recording and say, I'm dehydrated.
I am, but that doesn't mean I need to drink every 2 hours. I drink enough water and shit all day at work. Oh, yeah, no, this is the first thing I've drank actually since I even got home. I haven't drank anything.
I drink coffee a lot.
Yeah, see, I do that on the weekend. Yeah, no, too. I was thinking about, man, I really don't fucking drink a lot. I would go most evenings, maybe fill up a thing of water and drink that.
Maybe.
Well, I drink so much water during the day at work. It's fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot. So I'll have energy to drink, so like the pounder can, 16 ounce. But then I'll fill that up like 4, 5, 6 times, and then I'll have another energy drink after lunch. And then through the afternoon, I'll have 3, 4, 5 more filled with fucking
water. Do you
have
kidney stones? Holy shakes.
No, I just drink a lot when I get irritated and bored. And I'm always irritated or bored at work. So.
Aren't we all at work?
Irritated. God, I can't. We got to cover that. That's just going to.
Well, you don't like that picture?
That's just going to drive me nuts. Anyway.
Anyway, there you go. That's a better picture.
And I was going through the. Anyways.
Pop, Joe Jesus. Pop or whatever. What was that guy's name? You always just say Joe Pop or Pop Colonel or something.
Who knows?
We're probably making more sense than he is.
Jesus.
But you cannot be getting me sick before tomorrow.
I don't care. I'm fine.
Well, no, I'm in a hot dog eating contest tomorrow.
Oh, what the fuck? Where? Why?
At work.
Why? You guys have nothing better.
Well, it's
to do.
Special Olympics. It's like there's like 8 of us doing
right.
it.
It definitely sounds special to do it at work, man. That just sounds awful. Jesus.
No, but you got to eat 15 hot dogs in 15 minutes.
Oh, Jesus. That's not even a challenge. You'd be able to do that. It is a lot of hot dogs.
Yeah,
that is a lot of fucking.
I told the wife I was gonna do it. She's
like a pack and a half.
She's like, so are you gonna eat afterwards? And I said, probably.
I don't know. It depends on when we're doing it.
Well, they got the Nathan hot dogs. I don't know if they're any good.
Oh, fuck yeah, you're in trouble. Those are kind of bigger boys too. That's a lot of hot dog. That's usually what they use. Actually, like the New York
competition one,
official
yeah.
competition one. They're more like an actual hot dog, like a sausage. So they actually have flavor.
Oh,
so it's not like
a
John Morrell. Bologna in a tube,
that's
basically.
That's original was. They're supposed to use John Morrell's, but then we contacted John Morrell's.
That'd be easier to fucking eat, really.
Yeah. They contacted and said, well, since they're Special Olympics, they got a promotional from Nathan
right.
Hot Dogs.
Oh, nice, nice.
So they got, like, a whole bunch of hot dogs, and I'm like, here, use these. And I'm like,
hell yeah.
I looked right at them and said, you know them are competition regulation hot
yeah,
dogs.
They're, and they're pretty rich, too. It's a lot of flavor in them.
Yeah.
Really, I fucking love Nathan. They're spendy as shit, but they're really good.
We got them
really
for free.
Good.
They donated for Special
Heck
Olympics.
Yeah, that's
so.
Freaking awesome. Yeah, no, that's going to be a lot harder to do that. I take it back. That is
and
a
I'm
lot tougher
I don't think
to
I'm
do.
Even come close to finishing. I'm going to try my damnedest to eat 15 in 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But there's two really skinny people in this competition. That's my worry is right there, the skinny people. Because they probably eat a hot dog before it gets down to their stomach. They probably metabolized
right.
And it's gone. They're like, oh, I haven't eaten anything.
Well, it's like, what was his name? Kobayashi? Japanese.
Kobayashi
competitor.
Maru?
No. Competitor who, like, blew away most of the American ones. And the dude's thin as a rail. And as they said, scientifically, these bigger guys, yeah, you can fit a lot in your stomach. But the difference is that fat layer. You cannot actually expand out as much as, like, the skinny guy who doesn't have a thicker fat layer.
The skin stretches.
His belly can stretch out a whole lot more and give him a little bit more room. But yeah, that dude's a monster on hot dogs, man. It's just insane how fast that dude's just like, boom, 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 boom. It's like, oh, my God, dude. But yeah, he beat a bunch of our guys, had the world record, I think, for 3 years in a row, and they couldn't touch him. And then finally...
There's some
Chestnut,
American.
One of those guys.
Yeah, he ate like 67 in 15 minutes.
Just ripped his numbers apart. And it was like, okay, I guess we brought that back. Congratulations, there's actually, Steve, to America.
I found out at work there's actually people, they're giving me shit because he had to have nicknames.
Oh, boy.
We got the guys like the Dog Father and all that, right, right. Sky Dog and that. And she asked me, what do you want your nickname to be? I said, anything with Bigfoot. I don't care.
Right.
Just has to have Bigfoot in it. So it's Rob Bigfoot in my last name. And everybody's like, oh, give me shit. I used to work on the production floor, so the production guys are giving me shit.
Hell yeah.
And I look right at him. I said, honey, I can do just about anything I want.
My nickname's going to be Sausage Wallet. Damn.
No.
That'll be cool, though. That'll be
interesting. Because there's also the side.
Still sounds like a better day than my day is going to be.
Well, there's already people. There's a side betting pool.
Oh, I found out about I
found about this today as well. Who's going to have a reversal, the first reversal?
Ooh. Yeah.
And everybody's like, that is making more money than what the jars are for Special Olympics.
Wow.
There's bets on who's going to be the first one to puke.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. It's what we do.
I know.
We know where we work. We know how much money we don't make.
Yep.
Any bit can help, man. No, that's pretty cool. That is really cool.
No, it should be fun. It's for a good cause. And I may be miserable the next day, or I may be just hungry afterwards.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Making it a Nathan, something like that, and that changes the game a bit. That's it's a very rich hot dog.
Never had them.
Really, really good.
Never had them.
Yeah, it's more like the hot dogs my daughter won't eat. No, she doesn't eat any anymore, but there for a long time, I would get like higher end hot dogs, have them on sale or whatever. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. She's like, oh, I'm going to get one of these hot dogs. I don't like those hot dogs. They taste funny. Like, yeah, because it's actually...
tastes like a hot dog.
It's seasoned, and it's not just, you know, bologna wrapped into a tube shape, and that's all that is. Well, I like those. Yep. The cheaper and shittier it is, the more she's like, oh, those are good.
Well,
no,
they're
fucking not. The dog won't even eat that hot dog here. That's horrible.
Well,
trying to give you culture.
Hey, I may have a heads up on these guys because since I've gotten to be in this contest, I actually look back on my eating habits while I'm eating, and it's kind of scary, dude.
Right.
We just get this. A couple nights ago, we made two family size Philly hamburger helper.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I figured it out. I ate one whole fucking box myself.
Wow, in one sitting.
In one sitting.
Eesh. I mean, I get it. Because I can't.
And I didn't feel miserable
like
afterwards.
Really?
About half an hour later, I made peanut butter and mustard sandwiches.
Time to make a sandwich. I'm a little peckish.
I'm dead.
You are?
I'm serious. I figured it out because how much it made, I ate at least half of the amount.
Wow.
In less than 15 minutes.
Jesus. Yeah, it may be good with the hot dogs. Then. Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see.
That's awesome.
All right, folks, we're back. I had take care of some important messaging, texting or messaging. Or
whatever you need. I still find it odd on this Rodecaster that on is red. It just really,
no, it's not on. It says recording. That means don't fuck up.
But yeah, it's just kind of like
it's just like on air is always red on your radio station.
Right. But yeah, just in my head, it's like
quit fidgeting with paper clips.
Why
the guy
is it red? Well, I lost my good one, so.
Here,
I just
play
launched
with that.
It. Well, I don't want to. I just launched it over there somewhere. And I'll have to find it. Took me weeks of fidgeting to get it right in the same right spot I wanted to fit on my finger. But here we go.
Oh, God. If we had a YouTube, the look I would be giving you right now.
Yeah, right.
Well, YouTube is not that far away, folks. It's coming. It's like that ugly horizon coming at you.
It's the uglier me shining in your face. Yeah.
Well, let's get into some news articles here.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, like how we covered the Baltic Sea in that?
Yeah.
Did you hear about what they found in the Baltic Sea?
What now?
They believe they found one of the oldest man-made structures in the Baltic Sea.
So I know constantly they're coming across wrecks of shit they find
they found like a half a mile of like basketball-sized rocks. Put in a row along an ancient shoreline, and they're figuring people used it to herd animals into the water so they could get them.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, they found that in the Baltic Sea.
Hmm.
So that means that they find that at the same depth as that Millennium Falcon-looking thing.
Right.
I would gather to guess that's some type of statue.
Right.
Is that
a
spaceship or anything?
No.
It's like a lodestone or something, and it's like somebody carved into it. That'd be like...
you know,
is a statue of some sort.
Yeah, the spaceship idea is cool, but it's just as cool that we would have something that monolithic and big, because it's fairly good size.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there's just enough angles and everything on that just doesn't seem natural to me. So even if that is just an ancient carved statue, or not statue even, but just some kind of structure.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Is cool as shit to me. But there again, the Baltic is really tough. It is really nasty to get into and actually bring things up and explore. That's why they always had so much trouble even sending the rovers down there. Is because the water is dark. It gets turbulent, nasty out of nowhere, and it's a tough
because it's Cthulhu's sleeping spot.
Right.
That is his like nightstand. He's like, that's where he puts his cup of water. Yeah. When he wakes up, he wants a drink, and now it's all flooded, so he thinks he peed the bed.
Cthulhu thirsty. What are these things? Whoosh,
no, but gone. It's kind of cool because if you think about it, that's cool. That's back when the ice caps were a lot bigger during the Ice Age. There was no water there.
Right.
I'm guessing it's some sort of monolithic structure of some sort.
Right.
Which are just, it's amazing because.
Yeah, no, that's cool as hell.
Because it was also, again, South America has proved everybody wrong. Archaeologists have uncovered startling evidence of a large urbanized society that thrived in the Amazonian rainforest of Ecuador approximately 2,500 years ago. Huh. This ancient civilization, with its vast networks of citadels, gardens, roads, and plazas, is challenging long-held perceptions about pre-Columbian Amazonia. Well, we need to scientists need to stop thinking that everybody in our past is a bunch of idiots.
Right?
They weren't. They built the pyramids. They built the Great Wall of China. Well, but they built the Sphinx. No one knows who built the Sphinx because the Sphinx is actually older than the pyramids.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was. Like I said, some of the differences on it have been added since. But, yeah, the base structure of that is old, old, old. It was there basically when Egypt was rising. It was already there.
Yeah, when it was the Sphinx was there when Egypt was actually wetland. It was like it was a tropical forest. Yep. And everybody's like, that's just desert. No, the lines on the Sphinx are from water erosion on sandstone.
Yep.
And it's... Egyptologists always get pissed. Scientists get pissed when you bring that up to them.
Yeah. And no, I mean, clearly.
Because what they do is they feel like they're being tricked because they show like a strip. Like, what's this look like? Oh, that's water erosion on sandstone. Then they show the big picture. That's not, then they're like, no, that's from wind.
That's wind and sand. Is it? Is it really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there's a lot of, like I said, that's why, to me, some of the more interesting areas. And unfortunately, at this point, they're the most inhospitable and very cost.
Or UNESCO is involved.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My favorite people on the planet.
Right. But like, all the fucking deserts, there's a lot of shit, I believe, buried in most of our bigger deserts. Just because thousands of years ago, that was not a desert.
Yeah.
You know, there was shit thriving there. There were animals living there that weren't, you know, desert mice and snakes and fucking...
Bugs.
Death worms. And over time, things changed. Climate changes. Different things affect it. And, okay, now it's been overgrown now with sand. How much shit is buried under there? Same with, like, finding stuff down in South America in rainforest. There's so much stuff that's been overgrown. Well, the rainforest,
everybody forgets how fast that encroaches on everything.
Yeah, no, it does not take long at all.
Perfect example, I can use this. If you lived in Louisiana, you know what kudzu is.
Oh, yeah.
That is the most invasive vine.
Yeah.
I'm like, you have 1 acre of land, you put a pole, mow your lawn, put a pole out there. A month later, it's covered in vines.
Yes. Oh, yeah, and it's weeks it takes over. Not years.
Weeks.
Weeks of some of that shit just thrives and goes crazy.
It's like buckthorn around here. That's an
I
spent one whole summer cleaning that out around the lake.
Oh Jesus
yeah.
What a monotonous job that would never end.
As part of my degree, I had to do some volunteer
work.
And that stuff just rampant because my mom got at my mom and dad's place. I'm like, I like this bush, you know, it's an invasive species, it's not even supposed to be here.
Right,
it kills everything else. I was wondering why the trees were dying.
And there it is. Yeah, no, it's nasty.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's wild to me. Like I said, unfortunately, a lot of these places is very not cost effective to go in and try to do anything there.
Yep.
Then when you start dealing with borders of different countries that decide they don't want people in there. But there's so much shit, I think, underneath. Between jungle and desert, there is so much of our history, I think, buried under there.
Oh, yeah.
Just unreal.
Then you got, another news article, I remember it because it was really exclamatory. It's like, the Ring of Fire is going to close off the Pacific Ocean. I'm like, what? And they're like, putting this, like, they worded to her, like, this is going to happen, like, in a couple weeks.
Right.
I'm like, then the very last line, this will take place in about 2 million years. I'm like,
yeah.
Some people don't read all the way to the end of the fucking article.
They don't count on that.
You got to be like, what? It's going to Ring of Fire, volcanoes, death, volcano, locust, whatever. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, then if it happens, we're screwed anyway. In 2 million years, they're saying the Pacific Ocean is going to be its all enclosed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Now, I remember reading things like that back, even when I was a kid. They were talking about, it's like, well, yeah, it makes sense the way things move. Mm-hmm. Just the volcanic activity around there. Yeah, it's going to be at some point its own locked off water.
It would be really cool to see that.
Really cool. But in 2 million years, I don't really worry too much about it.
My joints might be a little sore by then.
Right. Yeah, anything that far out, I'm not too concerned with what's happening. Some days, even to 50 years out, I'm like, I don't care anymore. You know, 50 years out, I don't care. Yeah. It's fine. If I am alive, I'll be too old to care. So
I'm at that point kind of right now.
Right. Yeah, no, it'll be almost 100, you know. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to care. If I'm 100, I'm good.
I can look at what I can see care. What I'll be able to look at if I'm 100. Keep it clean, Marty. Keep it clean.
Right.
Well, we're going to talk about tonight's topic after about wasting 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's what we do.
We're going to talk about flying cryptids.
Yeah, watch them go.
Watch them go. First one I'm going to start off with is flying rays. I kind of touched on this a couple weeks ago. Here's one of the more popular reports. It's on December 3rd, 2004 in Mason County. Witnesses reported seeing a flying manta ray on a clear night after a man and woman departed Point Pleasant.
Huh.
Yeah. En route to Huntington, West Virginia.
Weird.
The woman noticed a sudden movement in the sky over the Ohio River. It was a grayish, smooth winged shape. The shape swooped in a figure eight in front of the windshield and was gone in an instant. Another sighting was reported in Randolph County near Black Fork and Blackwater River. A woman and her daughter saw a manta ray-shaped creature that glided over them or near their car. Basically, these things are described as being like these both bigger than a two-lane road. And, yeah.
All right.
Everybody's like, some scientists are going to say, well, it was probably a freshwater ray that flew out of the river. Well, as far as I know, the Ohio River doesn't have rays.
No, not that I know of. And yeah, there are ocean-going rays, much like sharks.
Yeah.
The rest of their family will come jumping up out of the water, but typically not up over a road doing figure eights in front of a car.
Taking off.
You know, they don't have that kind of airspeed or longevity in the
air.
Got
jet propulsions like Rodan, the good Rodan back in the day.
Yeah, jet engines. Well, why wouldn't you? That's pretty good, actually.
See, but yeah, no, that's I could cool, see it but... because I know, like, Creatures of the Corn, they talk about all these sky stuff. I can see something like that. It's like, it has to be in the water, but if it's got a diet, it's high in methane, just like cow flatulent.
Right.
Because fish have swim bladders that keeps them buoyant from sinking or floating up to the top. They could control it. Why couldn't these things have the same thing and still be biological creatures?
Right.
And they may be freshwater rays or whatever because they're near the river.
Yeah.
It's still possible, but I think that's a biological thing people are seeing.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's I don't think it's their imagination. I don't think they're going crazy. I am someone who has leaned down the road of some of these sky creatures being real.
Mm-hmm.
What they are, I
not a clue.
Don't have any idea. But yeah, I think whatever it is, they saw something. I mean, it's I can't disagree with whatever they saw. I have no proof that they didn't. But I can believe that certain other things, you know.
Like a good POTUS?
Yeah.
Here's this one made the news. This is ones are really popular during the 90s. Air rods.
Oh, yeah.
Air rods are called flying rods and sometimes referred to as skyfish or something like crop circles, and even skeptics acknowledge their existence. The only question is what they really are. Air rods have never been seen alive with the naked eye, but are picked up on camera and cell phones all over the world.
Right.
excuse me, folks.
I think some of them are
insects.
Real. There's something weird there. I would say a good majority of the footage they have of these is an insect in flight and in conjunction with the technology of whatever they're recording it on, just the way it captures it.
Yeah.
Because they've done it multiple times and actually filmed what they know is a bug and do certain things with the filtering and the timing on it, and it looks identical to what they've caught on all these things. Do I say all of them are? No. There are some where it's like, okay, that's really fucking weird. Okay, if that's a bug flying, it's got a really weird flight pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say a good 90% of them I've seen anyways are just something else. I put them in the realm with orb footage. Some of them are really good. And it's like, okay, I have no explanation for that. 90% of the video that gets captured with all these orbs in the room, it's not an orb. It's dust or some other thing. I'd put them in that same kind of category where... Yeah, I think there is something.
Well,
to
like
it.
With orbs, and I know we were maybe piss off some people saying this.
You
can tell when it's dust because you can somebody walk by and you can just see it. Like you have a force field just from the force of wind pushing away.
Yep.
But when you have other ones going away and something going towards you,
right,
then it's a different story.
And there are some I've seen that actually have a light, and there is a visible light source
in the center of them.
On it's reflecting on the wall. There is something there actually producing light.
Yeah,
that is not going to be light reflected off of dust. But like I said, there's some footage where it's like, okay, that's definitely something. A lot of them you see, especially with, I don't want to say non-pro, but like more beginner ghost hunters, will be like, oh my God, look at this footage of all this. Yeah, you're in a dusty attic of a building that hasn't been used in 50 years. That looks like dust. I hate to burst your bubble. Those don't look like orbs.
But if it starts making symbols and that, then you might want to be a little bit worried.
If you have one that's bigger and going the opposite direction of all the other orbs you're seeing, that one might be something. The rest of it is probably dust going in the same direction.
So what do you think orbs are?
I honestly don't know. It's an energy form of some kind. Whether it's actually spirits of people, I have really kind of torn on the fence with that one. I think there is something to them, but I don't know what they actually are.
I got an idea. What if this is a big what if? What if these orbs we're all getting pictures of are actually aliens?
Ooh,
and they're just really, really tiny. It's like Gulliver's Travels.
Right.
They're the Lilliputians.
Yeah,
and it's just like it's possible. It's come on, flying, folks. It's aliens are going to be big sphere. Giant people or humanoids. That sphere you're seeing is actually the UFO flying through our dense atmosphere.
Right. There's like,
and they're like, there's these big slow moving creatures, and like, God, these things are slow. And you're like, dip.
Oh yeah, just like, what is that?
Well,
thing?
Perfect example.
Is that mountain moving?
Well, you want a perfect example? Just picture this. Have you ever watched a bug on the ground? Just sit there and just watch a bug move. You know how fast they're fucking moving for their size? It's ridiculous.
Comparable.
It's comparable to how fast a jet fighter moves.
Yeah, it's unreal.
And you don't really think of it because they're smaller than you.
But yeah.
They're moving faster than you could at that same size.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same thing with strength-wise, too.
Yeah.
So that size, they're unreal. We could not arm wrestle ants. I mean, let's be real. They would tear us apart.
So orbs are UFOs from really tiny aliens.
It's no worse a theory than anything else I've seen. Let's be real. Yeah, it's... I don't know.
So what have you got besides me spouting off about orbs being aliens?
This one's actually going back to 1891.
1891?
Yeah, in Indiana, the Crawfordsville Monster. It was described as a violently flapping thing.
Can we use the Wayback Machine?
You can. This thing was described as this violently flapping thing. It was a flaming red eye, 20 feet long, 8 foot wide. It was described as actually kind of a rectangular creature. Almost eel-like with its movement. It was had like these undulating fins on the downside of this. So like this creepy flying undulating rectangle. It was seen actually a few times.
Was it something my kid drew?
It kind of does look like something a kid would draw.
Really?
It's described as actually having its eye in its mouth spot, and it actually had three jaws. So it was like
three sets
of jaws that open like out.
Alien?
Yeah. Okay. Like
three rows of
more
teeth?
Like Tremors.
Okay.
Where it has like the opening mouth.
Yep.
Of like three sets of jaws.
I got you.
Boom, boom, boom. And an eye set back in the center of the mouth section. The second time this thing had actually popped up, it was described more as a squirming, as if it was in pain and making a strange wheezing noise, like it didn't belong here, like it was having trouble breathing. But yeah, same description of it, mouth with an eye in
it. Where was this seen at?
This is Indiana.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, it was just such a strange creature, and there's really been not much reports of it since. This late 1890s. My thought was, well, what if, because we've talked about it before, things popping in and out
mm-hmm.
of where they belong and where they don't.
Yeah, they don't belong.
I was like, oh, well. That
popping in and out is going to come up here later in the episode.
Right. But yeah, it's like, I would explain if it's accidentally come over here into an environment that it's not used to and is having trouble breathing.
Lack of oxygen.
Yeah, or whatever it needs to breathe. But yeah, wheezing and undulating in pain. And like, it's just
God damn it, the coordinates are off, Steve.
It's just, that's unnerving image.
Well, here's one that might make you more disturbed. It's called Lodi's Blue Mystery Thing.
Interesting.
Other names, Blue Thing. It's a flying humanoid, North America. It was sighted in Lodi, Wisconsin, August 22nd, 1999. There was an anomalous humanoid allegedly witnessed by residents of Madison, Wisconsin, known only as Michelle. The account comes second or third hand from authors of the 2000 travel book Weird Wisconsin. That used to be that website. It's awesome.
Yep.
A part of the popular Weird Series travel books, Michelle allegedly encountered the strange being on August 22nd, 1999, while hiking back to her car along the Ice Age Trail in Lodi, Wisconsin. While making her way down the trail toward the Lodi Cannery, she saw a quick blue flash approximately 50 or so feet ahead of her, obscured by the trees in the way. Assuming it was a cyclist despite the trail being off limits to bicycles, Michelle stood to the side of the trail to allow them to pass. However, much to her surprise, the creature abruptly made a harsh turn to the left, Michelle's right, and flew into the thicket. A long blue appendage akin to a feather boa or scarf waving behind its head all the while. The creature then disappeared from view. The author of Weird Wisconsin article briefly mentioned the hypothesis that the entity was a spirit or a wraith in passing, but such suggestions are highly unfalsifiable. If the story is truthful, not a hoax, the creature was most likely a misidentified animal. The difficult task is finding a culprit. Blue-colored fauna in Wisconsin is extremely rare outside of small birds or insects, but the entity was evidently large enough that Michelle's first thought was cyclist. One possible culprit would be the great blue heron. That fucker gets a bad rap for everything.
Right, everywhere you go, everywhere.
Its blue coloring is certainly subdued and more bluish-gray, but its large eyebrow feathers could explain the flowing appendage seen by Michelle. Of course, it is also certainly possible that indeed a cyclist who lost control of his bicycle and was thrown off the trail. However, the online searches don't reveal any records of cyclists who died. Why did he have to die?
Right.
He just thrown off and I'd be like, break a leg or arm or something. Why did he have to die? In Lodi near the date. Although the lack of obituaries would, of course, be a non-issue if the cyclist survived. They had to say he died.
Right.
Why did you go that way first? Some dude, I'd probably break a hip if I lost riding a bicycle nowadays.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, why do they have to go to death?
Right, immediately. It's like, well, they never found his body. Well, yeah, but no, there were no screams, so it's not like maybe he didn't die. No, that's an oddball. Wisconsin's got a long history of weird stuff.
Oh, they got more weird stuff.
Man, there is just a whole, there are a couple full books.
Yeah.
Of just the history of weird shit. Well, since that, Wisconsin's been a state.
This isn't flying critter, but the world famous Bray Road Beast.
Yep.
Then you have thousands of UFOs reports.
Right. Holy crap. Lots of stories even going back to, say, late 1800s of sea serpents, large reptiles, weird shit in their lakes. Yeah, there's just a long history of just bizarre stuff in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Which a lot of Wisconsin really is bizarre. It is a little bizarre. It's pretty, but it's
so I'm making fun of my brother-in-law now because he doesn't ever listen to the podcast, or my sister-in-law.
Right.
I'll be like, they moved to Wisconsin because I think they're really weird. They're cheeseheads.
Yeah, that's not
But good. I think they're just getting called home to their home plane of existence where all the weird shit is at.
Come back. Come visit us in what Weirdo
else?
Town.
So what else do you got
in
there,
Weirdo Weird? Town. We have the Orang Bodhi.
The what?
From Southeast Asia. Now, this is supposedly a winged primate that is primarily known for kidnapping, eating children that they will steal from villages in just different areas. That dropout is so weird to me.
I know.
Island of Seram in Indonesia is said to be the main home of these things. As far back as the 1500s, the Moluccans, the natives there, had been telling missionary tales of these flying things. And most of the time, like usual, certainly back in that time, even up through the 1800s.
Even up to today.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, they're primitives. They don't understand what's going on. But yeah, no, these things are apparently up to 5 foot tall with black leathery wings, reddish skin, and thin tails. So 5 foot tall flying red monkeys. It is actually believed that they are the basis of the stories for the flying monkeys from Baum's Wizard of Oz was based off of tales of these things.
So there's more weird people in South Dakota than just us, because he's from South Dakota. He's from Aberdeen, right?
But yeah, no, actually in 1987, there was an English missionary named Tyson Hughes who was down there working on helping develop better farming techniques with a bunch of the villagers in the farm areas. And he was not a believer at all in this until he actually witnessed one of these things himself and completely changed his viewpoint on it. No. And since then had been actually promoting with the native Moluccans, telling stories of this, that, yeah, this thing is out here. These are the tales of it. And has actually been kind of helping them promote the idea that this is a real creature.
Okay, so let me get this right. The reports are of a red-haired, 5 foot tall winged monkey.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't find that very
well. I don't know if it's actually haired.
Or
they,
just skin.
They just let's go with leather, okay. Leathery, reddish okay. skin.
I can believe that because if you look at some of our own animals, there's one animal in particular I'm fascinated with that makes no sense. It fits all the criteria of this creature.
Mm.
It is the platypus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is the weirdest animal. And if anybody yeah. says, oh, monkeys can have wings, you ever seen a platypus?
Right.
Platypus have no stomach.
Yeah.
And they have a duck bill,
yep.
and they lay eggs, but yep. they're a mammal.
They're a mammal.
And they have poisonous
yeah,
spurs.
Poison spurs, yeah. Males have poison.
And their glow is, and they glow in the dark.
Yeah.
They're UV reactive.
Yep.
Name an animal that's weirder than that. That's so that anything we talk about in this right. program, I always compare it to a platypus. That's real. All these other animals that these people are seeing could right. be real.
And there again, platypus, too, when it was originally being described by people, they thought it was nonsense.
Yeah.
They were like, you guys are fucking having
yeah, a beaver with a duck bill? Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're fucking having us on. Okay. And then they started finding them. They're like, oh, God, this thing is real. Are you kidding me?
I just found out recently they didn't have a stomach.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah, everything about them is not right.
They're all genetically modified.
Right, yeah, like the Orang Bodhi, there are a lot of people have said it's maybe like one of the larger bats that's been misidentified.
Mm-hmm.
But that big and stealing children, most of the bigger ones, like the horsehead bat and that, are fruit eaters. Most of your big bats are not actually attacking people. Most of your blood, so even like the regular vampire bat, it's actually a pretty small bat compared to other bats.
There's lots of them at one time.
It's just a lot, and they like to sneak up is what they do. But yeah, most of your bigger bats, like that flying fox, things like that from the Philippines, are not chasing after people unless they're holding a papaya or something, you know, because that's what they're after. Yeah. They're big, giant babies. They're
like, give us that sugar so I can get fat and get all my energy.
As sure as the nice fruit you got in your hand. It would be a shame if I made you drop that. Nom, 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 nom.
Oh, don't do that.
I love
don't bats. Do that.
I love
that. Well, I got a bat creature for you.
Rap.
Jesus, stay away from the dad jokes, would you please?
What? That wasn't even a... They get a bad rap, not bat rap.
Oh, see, now you still get said it.
You forced they have, my hand.
Since you're talking about bats, I'm going to talk about the real famous weekly world news, Bat Squatch.
Oh, Bat Squatch. Hey, did they ever find out he was related to the Bat Boy?
I think that's his illegitimate son.
I think that's how
that storyline played out. But besides him being famous in World Weekly News, which is no longer defunct, I used to pick that all the time up in our...
Oh, it was hilarious.
I'm like, Bob, that's 75 cents. Can I have it? Yeah, she's like,
there's some oddball stuff in there,
man. Bat Squatch is a flying cryptid that was allegedly seen near Mount St. Helens in the 1980s. It resembles a flying primate similar to the Ahul Orangbati of Southeast Asia, and its name is whatever, derived from the words bat and Sasquatch.
Right.
Okay, try the Bat Squatch.
We're not clever here.
Witnesses allegedly took several pictures of the creature. However, these pictures have not yet been analyzed and thus cannot prove the creature's existence. Who has the pictures, I wonder?
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder who has the pictures. If their pictures are bullshit, they just say, hey, the pictures are bullshit. But when they say something like that, it's like,
right.
Who's got the pictures?
Are they being held back?
The creature is said to have yellow eyes, a dog-like muzzle, blue fur, sharp teeth, bird-like feet, and leathery bat wings that span up to 50 feet. In addition, the Bat Squatch is said to be 9 feet tall and has the ability to affect car engines. Excuse me. Case in point, in April 1994, Brian Canfield was driving in Wisconsin, Pierce County. When his truck suddenly died, Canfield said a large creature landed in front of him. He said that it was human-like, 9 foot tall, with bat-like wings, and also sported a coat of blue fur. Ever since then, it has not been seen, and skeptics dismiss it as a hoax. The possible second sighting was reported in 2009 near Mount Shasta. That's not the weird capital of the world in California. Several hikers witnessed a huge creature with leathery wings spanning 50 feet fly out of a crevice in the mountain. At first, the eyewitnesses described the creature as having a head similar to a pterodactyl. However, upon reconsidering, the witness claimed it was akin to a flying fox bat. June 11th, Phoenix, Teresa, a pseudonym, was in his yard walking his dog. He went to pick up the dog when he saw something in the sky. He said the following: I saw something flying in the sky. It had bat wings, blue fur, and a face similar to glowing eyes, glowing red. It was 9 feet tall, at least. As I watched it, it just flew away. On April 4th, Archbishop Hoban High School in Akron, Ohio, a second period Spanish class spotted a giant black mass zip by the windows of the classroom at incredible speeds. The class claims it was 9 feet tall with a 20 to 30 foot wingspan.
Oof.
Yeah.
I don't care what that is. That would just be really creepy, just sitting in school and be like, what was that?
Well, it's like, I'm going to bring up like 2 weeks ago when we talked to Bigfoot South Dakota. He's giving the scripture of these things he saw, and I'm like, yeah, no. I really want to see Bigfoot, but people forget how tall 9 feet is. I know how tall 7 foot is because I grew up with it.
Right.
I'm like, I'm used to looking at 7 foot, and I can really guess what 7 foot is, but 2 feet on top of that is like top of your roof in this room.
Well, even going back to, like, we used to talk about like that was probably at least 15 years ago. There was that giant bear that had been caught, had attacked somebody. And it was, they had pictured this thing, and it was 12 foot tall. And you think, it's like, 12 foot, that isn't a big deal. No, you really start looking at how tall 12 feet is and something that massive. That's a fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
like that is just a huge hunk of animal that's just rolling down on you. It's like, oh God, no, what is that? No,
just put your hand up and say stop. Not in the mood.
You go back and find another picnic basket, man. I don't need you today. Yeah, I mean, you really think about 9 foot. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That is unreal, dude. But yeah, like I said, I'm 6 foot. That's throwing another 3 feet on top of me. Another half of me on top of me.
Which half?
Either one. Okay. It doesn't matter. Just It'll checking. Be terrifying no matter what. Just horribly terrifying.
So what do you got there?
This one, I'm actually going to read through this whole thing because there's a lot in it, and it's really cool. And it actually, this story goes into other stuff. I've seen this in alien and UFO reports as well.
Okay.
But this is Frank Shaw's Gargoyle.
Heard of that.
Yeah, I saw it actually on another paranormal show a while ago. I was like, oh, I hadn't heard about that. But this is actually a bizarre monster that was sighted in 1986. What makes this interesting is that this was sighted by a NASA employee. He had seen this winged, jet-black, malevolent monstrosity. It was a blustery evening sometime in 86. Frank Shaw, he was a NASA archivist at Houston Johnson Space Center. He claimed to have had a terrifying run-in with a creature that seemed to hail from beyond mythology. While information regarding the case is pretty sparse, his daughter, Desiree, eventually reviewed the details of the mysterious run-in to author Nick Redfern in 2004. Desiree testified that she first realized something was wrong with her dad when he returned home late one night after working at the Space Center. While neither her or her mother were particularly alarmed by his lateness at getting back, because a lot of times he would end up working late. It is what it is. But they were both really kind of dismayed by just how apprehensive he was acting that night, almost paranoid. They attempted to comfort him. He was kind of able to calm himself and tell him this story of what he saw. According to him, he was walking to his car at the end of his shift when he happened to glance up and see a glassy black gargoyle-like figure perched on the edge of one of the Space Center's buildings, like a gargoyle would be. He claimed he was frozen in horror at the sight of it, which, like I said, was jet-black humanoid, but it seemed to have a large cape almost draped across its shoulders. He actually claimed that he saw two bat-like wings sticking out of either side of the cape itself. So it had a cape and wings, like a freaky monster. He said perhaps the cape itself was actually wrinkled skin folds from a wing. That'd
be scarier yet.
Yeah, that's more terrifying to me.
That means that the wings are a lot bigger than what we think.
Right. The description... a lot of people have said is very similar to Mothman or Owlman stories. Especially like with the irrational fear that immediately overcomes the person. Same with him. Let's see. Where are we at? Oh, here I am. He said he was standing there awestruck watching this thing. But it stared directly down at him. He said that he later asserted he believed this being was actually savoring the fact that it had scared him, like it was feeding on that terror. He said he came to that conclusion, wasn't really fully explained, but he just had a sense that it was. But it was that point that the gargoyle seemed to unfurl its wings, which Shaw stated made a crackling noise as it took flight in powerful howling gusts. The sound of the crackling wings seemed to snap him out of it, and he turned and just ran ass to his vehicle. He said he fumbled with his keys, got the door unlocked, got in, and just drove. Didn't look back, didn't care if he was being pursued by it. He was just, I'm out of here. I'm not dealing with this thing. Despite what was some initial skepticism, Shaw's family rallied behind him, believing that what he said was true. But Desiree and his wife both said, you should probably not tell your superiors about this. Because, you know, that does not end well. You're in NASA telling them you saw a monster. He eventually decided he needed to tell his supervisor that he had seen this thing. So much to his delight, he was not made fun of, but instead was informed by his superior that he wasn't the first one on Johnson Space Center to see this thing. they actually have a whole file they had opened on this creature. They'd seen it in a lot of other places, skulking in just like dark areas of the stations. Let's see. Supervisor stated the file had been created in response to the gruesome death of two of the base's German shepherds that had been mutilated and drained of blood and discovered around the same area that Shaw ran into this thing, which is terrifying. But yeah, following the unusual confession, Shaw's story made its way up the chain of command until apparently came to the attention of NASA officials, who in classic MIB fashion decided they needed to interrogate him. Now, according to his daughter, father was grilled by what she referred to as NASA security people who were flown in from somewhere in Arizona. And that's all she really knows about them, is that they were flown in. The security people made it clear to Shaw that it would be in his and his family's best interest from telling this story to anybody else. Like I said, this might be why Desiree waited almost 20 years to actually tell this story. Well, there have been no public reports of this entity in a sense, this early one, which may be due in no small part to NASA's policy of silence on a lot of things. There does seem to be a fairly good chance this bloodthirsty gargoyle may well still be lurking around Johnson Space Center, and nobody really knows. Like I said, NASA, like a lot of, and now technically NASA is not military, but they are in the same circles and are a lot of the same kind of stuff.
Space Force.
Yeah, Space Force One. But yeah, no, they have a long history of wanting those things kept quiet.
Well, it's just, NASA in itself is really weird.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a video on this, and there's these guys that are exploring. They technically broke into a NASA thing. And they come across this really interesting site. They're in there, and they find this parking lot full of cars from the 70s.
Oh.
Trucks, cars, pickup trucks.
Really?
Utility trucks. But you know what's interesting about 70s vehicles? No electronics.
Oh, yeah.
They had like 200 vehicles, and they're like, these guys are like, why do they have all these old vehicles for here? And then you start looking at them, and none of them have electronics. The only electronics they have is the radio.
Yeah, it's very minimal. You don't have any of the computer control, like anything from even, say, 86 forward.
Yep.
Has a lot of everything going through some central computer chip or
processor,
limiter, whatever.
But these all vehicles, they're like, they were well maintained. They actually had decent tires on them. They're all clean. They're clean, well taken care of. No rust that I could see in this like 3-minute video.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not like this was where all these cars were abandoned.
Yeah, this is all the people that got abducted. We just grabbed their vehicles.
Right. Oh, that's weird. Uh-huh. That is cool as shit. I have never seen that, actually.
Not as weird as this thing from Iowa. That's interesting as hell. Iowa's kind of weird itself. All the corn they got.
Horrible.
We're going to give a little brief history of the Van Meter Visitor.
Oh, yeah.
In October 1903, several respected members of the community told tale of a mysterious winged creature that terrorized some of the town's residents during several nights and over the course of a week. Oh, excuse me, folks. Description of the beast suggests that it had large bat-like wings, left a terrible stench wherever it went, and even stranger, it fired beams of bright lights from its forehead. The bizarre account recalls how several of the locals attempted to shoot the beast, but their gunfire didn't even appear to have any effect. Fed up with the menace, a group of town folks band together one evening and pursued the creature to an abandoned coal mine. That's not true. It's not a coal mine.
No.
They confronted not one, but two of the beasts, which both turned and disappeared down into the gloom of the mine as the men opened fire, never to be seen again. See, it's not a coal mine, folks. This is Iowa. I don't know for sure, but it's not a coal mine. I can't think of the name of it right now.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. But yeah, no, I've never heard it, I guess, as a coal mine.
No, the mine is abandoned right now. It's closed off and can't get into it.
Yep.
But that kind of leads me, the Van Meter Visitor, we got to make it down there to that festival eventually.
Yeah, they do a festival down there every year, which we've been tentatively wanting to go to. And at some point, we're going to. This year, probably not, because we've got a lot of shit going on.
I find it interesting because it goes underground.
Yeah.
I'm like, that leads me to believe that the mole people send out scouts every once in a while to see what the hell's going on.
Right. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different oddball creatures that show up and then disappear back underground.
But you notice they all have, like, wings. Well, I don't think it was actually wings because they've seen it flying.
No. But it ends up on top of the building.
And if you look at a picture of it, it always has, like, the pterodactyl look to it with the sharp beak and all that. Yep. But the one I find really interesting is they have, like, this figure that has, like, a bird head, but it looks like it's wearing a black cloak and it's got a weird symbol on it. Yep. I'm like, where'd that one come from?
Right. Which one is this?
So I could see that an underground. See, I believe there's underground civilizations in our planet.
Yeah.
And there is evidence, a lot of evidence for it.
Yeah.
But it's not mainstream science.
I would say potentially more than one.
Yeah.
Myself. But
these are just scouts like coming up here and like, hey. Yep, what's going on? Oh, they're shooting at us. They're not ready for us yet. Go back.
Right, yeah, especially because that was, what, late 1800s, I think? 1903.
Yep.
It was way back, quite a ways. That's always just a really cool story. It really is, the whole story with that one.
It was only 121 years ago.
Yeah.
23? Jesus.
Well, like one of the stories you had here, it was like, oh, in 1999, I was going to say, oh, man, that's not that long ago. That was over 20 years ago. Dude. Yeah. Shut up. You know? It was still over 20 years ago, man. There are some people maybe listening weren't even alive.
There's probably quite a few of them that listen.
Right.
Then you have, like, the ever-faithful pterodactyl sightings that are seen all over the planet. Like, the roping is very common. Yep. I believe that's some. And that goes into the whole thing of popping in and out of our dimension.
Right.
I think, like, in our past, I don't know. It's just something's going on for people to see these pterodactyls. There's videos of it. There's people seeing it at Yellowstone. People in all over the world, Texas, Civil War photo. That I don't know about.
That one I'm still.
I'm on the fence about that picture.
Right. It's cool, but how accurate is that?
And they've seen them in Hawaii. They got Hawaii, like they've seen them on the East Big Island, they were seen all over the place. Colorado seems a very common place to see them.
Yeah, there's a lot, it seems like, sightings there.
Yeah, because it's just because of the mountains or something?
Yeah, it could
They're roosting in the mountains.
Well, not unlike thunderbirds.
Yeah.
Which typically they believe do roost in high areas, wait for storms, and then they just ride storm clouds. We do have birds that do that.
Eagles
are some of the condors will go ahead of a storm because they're getting all this great wind and they're not having to put out a lot of effort to get long distances, you know, and it's, if you got to fly, easiest way to do is fly as long as you can. But yeah, now that ties actually into this one, the Quetzalcoatlus sightings in Texas.
I would love to see one of those, but scared now, shitless. In the
same. Yeah. Yeah, like this one here was actually out of Pennsylvania. Now, this was 2001. There was a 19-year-old driving down Route 119. Now, this is up in Pennsylvania. I was driving, heard a noise like flapping in a storm, like a flag, kind of flapping in the wind. He kind of looked up around his vehicle and saw a beaked bird with a 10 to 15 foot wingspan and strange elongated head, which similar to pterosaurs and some of those. The next couple months, it was actually sighted a couple more times in Greensville and Erie counties up in Pennsylvania. Now, it is reminiscent of reports, the Texas reports from 76 and 82, which are all cases of a pterosaur type creature being spotted. The thing was actually named after the Quetzalcoatlus, the dinosaur, which was a large early,
late
dinosaur.
Okay. Basically, let's give a size comparison, Cessna.
Yeah, it is a massive.
It's actually bigger than a Cessna.
Yeah, this massive ancient
flying dinosaur.
Early bird, late dinosaur type creature. They figured head winged, feathered, because they've got some of that still in the fossil record with it. Now, the Texas sightings were all actually sighted within a few miles of where the first Quetzalcoatlus fossils were found. So it's like we knew they lived there at one point, and now here they are within a few miles, people reporting live ones.
Yeah.
But it just, they the sightings on these also seem to come in waves where they'll be like, okay, here's a flash of them, and then you don't see them again for a few years. And then a lot of times that same area will have another wash of sightings for a month, two at a time, yep, of people seeing them, and then nobody sees them again for another few years. But yeah, they seem to come in cycles. Why? I don't know.
Maybe it's their breeding cycles.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, because we're talking about popping in and out. Right. Maybe when they're seeing them, it's like, let's say it's every 2 years. Well, that's their, we think our breeding cycles are every year for animals, but maybe every 2 years they pop in, they fly through this. Oh, we got to fly through this mountain range where they're at. And it takes us to this place where there is no predators. We have to fly through this, and we fly back through that.
Right. Well, it's like salmon spawning up the river. They head up to the same spot every time.
Yep, after they've been out in the ocean for years.
Yeah, just because it happens to be in a parallel spot,
yeah,
it doesn't change things. They go in and do this. The Pennsylvania sighting, a lot of it, people were washing it off as like, oh, no, what you saw was a frigate bird, which is a large bird, grayish feathers, that sometimes when you look at it, the coloring on it does look like leather. But it's, I'm sorry, if you're seeing feathers, you're going to see feathers. Mm-hmm. No matter what color it is, there's a certain edge and look to a feather. Unless you've never seen a bird before.
See, now, my question is, a frigate bird bigger than an albatross? I don't think it is.
I don't think so. It's a good-sized bird, but I don't know if it's quite that big. But, yeah, with just the coloring he described as the darker.
Yeah.
It could look leathery. It's like, no, you're still going to see feathers. Like, the thing was above his car. It's apparently, close enough that you would see feathers.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're startled right away, you're going to be like, oh, shit, what is that? And as you look at it, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, those are feathers, because I'm a human being who lives on this planet, and I've seen a bird before.
Yeah.
Even a big bird. I mean, it's still has telltale marks of a bird.
I told you that story about seeing the blue heron in a tree, right? Didn't I?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll tell the story again. Well, I grew up on a dairy farm, Sockham, South Dakota. We were done with chores and that. All of a sudden, I seen something in this tree make a hellacious noise. I'm like, what the hell? And it was a blue heron.
Yeah.
And it's massive. And I'm like, I could tell instantly it had feathers. Right. I didn't think it was like some dude wearing a blue cloak. You could see the feathers.
Yeah, it's not the creatures from Mimic, where it's like, oh, man, there's Mr. Funny Shoes. No, man, that is clearly a big fucking bird. I don't know why it's here on my farm, but that is a big bird, man.
It is.
I mean, yeah, even that first, because I've run into, like, eagles, where it's
them
like,
things are,
oh, shit, and you're startled at first. But, yeah, you really quickly realize, that's a bird, because mm-hmm. those are feathers. Again, because I'm a human being who has grown up on this planet. And I've seen birds before. It's pretty telltale. The only ones that maybe don't would be like penguins and kiwis and weird offshoot birds like that.
Keep them damn penguins away from us.
But even like fucking, ostrich and shit. Yeah, they're a big, creepy, land-running bird and are terrifying.
Just think of they
But they
fly.
Have feathers. They have feathers. They clearly, that is feathers.
Just think of an ostrich could fly.
Oh, no. Well, it might actually be better because maybe they would have different shaped feet instead of those big feet that will stomp you into a hole. They're horrifying creatures.
Just think, well, we're talking about things with wingspans, like humanoid creatures.
Yeah.
They figured out, I think it was like, let's say an average weighing human weighs 180 pound, human bone mass and everything.
Right.
They would need like a 16 foot wingspan.
Yeah.
To fly.
Yeah.
Comfortably. A lot of these wingspans are bigger than that, and it kind of correlates to the size.
Right. And there again, too, even if it is a type of bird, their bone structure is different than what ours is. It's a lot lighter.
Their bones aren't as dense.
Yeah, it's a much thinner, which helps them fly.
Yep.
You're looking at things like a Quetzalcoatl, like a pterosaur. There again, their bones are thicker than a bird's, but a proportionate size, they are still going to be lighter. But you can get a lot of weight and a big wingspan that is going to fly like crazy. Mm-hmm. I do believe there have been a few of the videos that have come out of supposed pterosaurs where I'm like, I don't know, that flies an awful lot like a rigid drone that's been dressed up.
See, the funny one, I think I know what you're talking about. There's just
does the little
this one where the supposed pterodactyl flying, and you see it flying horizontal. I see it tip its head down, and the whole thing turns like this, and it flies like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, they're not going to look down. They're just going to look left or right. They may just barely move their head, look down, but it's like going 90 degrees down.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah,
it drops down. It's like,
we're calling bullshit on that.
Yeah, I mean, its head can look down. Birds can look down as they're flying and not completely, you know, 45 degree down and just keep going forward like you know, a Boba Fett ship. You know, it just doesn't fly that way.
No.
But yeah, no, it's the birds get a bad rap. They get scapegoated a lot for anything weird.
Birds aren't like, real anyway.
I don't like birds, period.
I knew a guy who was terrified of them.
I'm not scared of them. I just hate them. They're stupid animals.
He was terrified of birds.
Really? I guess I've known a few people, too, that are just freaked out by birds. I just think they're a stupid animal.
They are kind of dumb. I've actually done plenty of 100-year-old sparrow.
God, they're dumb.
We're just reasoning my brother was back. Then we got talking about the shit we did. Dumb shit.
Right,
the dumb shit we did when we were growing up on the farm. And then we got talking about, remember when we used to hunt sparrows at night? I'm like, hell yeah, that was fun. We used to take flashlights during the dead of winter.
Yep.
And with our BB guns, we'd spotlight them.
Yep.
And plink them. Blink. And they wouldn't even move. You could shoot. There'd be like three in a row. You shoot one, two, three. Just one right after another. And mom's like, you guys did that? She was all aghast and pain. I'm like, yeah, why do you think we never had sparrows on the farm, Mom?
Right. Why do you think there were no sparrows and all the farm cats were fat as hell?
Yeah.
We fed them. They didn't have to work for it. Yeah. Lazy, lazy.
No.
Well training for us. To train us but into birds picking their food.
Birds are they're not the smartest creatures.
No. Like owls.
No one messes with owls because they're just creepy.
But owls, they're like, they're a symbol of wisdom. They're one of the stupidest birds on the planet. They're absolutely dumb as hell. We're like, what? Aren't they supposed to be wise? No, they're dumb. They're just a straight up stupid bird.
They just look wise because they're not saying anything.
Right. They're hanging out and staying away from us, typically, so good for them.
Well, I think I saved the best for last.
Oh, no.
In 2001, British naturalists working in a quarry in central Wales spotted a creature they described as a 2.5-foot-long serpentine dragon with four limbs and a head resembling that of a seahorse. Perhaps most fascinating of all, they reported the creature was airborne but didn't display any obvious wings. They observed the creature for about 4 minutes before it disappeared into one of the quarry's many adjacent caves. The story made its way into a number of reports that has been largely dismissed as being fanciful. Despite this, several similar sightings of this creature has been reported, all with consistent descriptions.
That's very similar to a lot of the Asian Chinese
long dragons.
Oh, yeah. There are a few different ones, and not just from mythology of... China's had a few different ones that have been spotted around rivers. Well,
I don't know about that one because it shows that massive one.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn, I want to believe it's real, but I want to say it's CGI because it's terrifying if it's real.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Because it was big as a Cessna. I think it was huge.
It's cool. It's cool as hell. I really hold out any hope that it's actually real. I think that one is probably faked.
Thanks, Vardy.
But it looks so good. I honestly hope it is because something like that size is running around, and if it's got a mean streak, or intelligent mythological dragons tend to be, we could be in big trouble.
I did not get a chance to snip this article. This was a dragon report out of Wisconsin.
Oh,
just like a D&D dragon, but it had like 12 witnesses.
Wow.
I read it, and I'm like, I got distracted. I forgot to snip a picture of it so I can read it. But there's reports in Wisconsin of flying dragons.
Interesting.
And it was seen by two separate groups in the same town on the same night.
Wow. Okay.
And there was a mom involved and some teenage kids in both groups.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to look that up now.
See, weird Wisconsin.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just it's Wisconsin, man. They got.
Then you have like what can we give South Dakota? South Dakota is like standard South Dakota.
yeah. Basic bitch South Dakota.
Yep.
Welcome to the flats.
So that is all I have, but I figured I'd save the dragons for last
week. Yeah, no,
we're
that's
kind
cool
of dragon nuts.
Right.
But it kind of explains too, because even in Southwest America, there's reports of dragons with wings.
Yeah. Yep.
And like this one here with the whales one ties into Chinese mythology, because dragons are like serpents.
Yep.
That can fly through the air.
Yep. Yeah. Now, which is weird, because you think coming out of Wales, that if they were making up a story of a dragon, it would be a European style dragon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A lindworm.
If they were doing this, it's the typical winged out, what you see in a picture of dragons, not one that is much more reminiscent of Asian.
Yeah.
That's one thing to me in that story that goes,
doesn't make
why
sense.
Would they choose that? You know what I mean? If you're going to make up a story of dragons,
make it easy.
Because a European dragon, that is where that what you typically see as a dragon, fantasy dragon, is a European dragon.
Not Game of Thrones dragons. They're more like wyverns.
Yeah, they're much more like wyverns.
Because when we talk about dragons, ones from Europeans, picture a horse's body, long neck, scaly tail, and wings. You can walk in all
big
four.
Big wings. Yeah. And you'd think if you're in that area, like I said, that is the birthplace of the iconic dragon. You would think that would be the description, a small version of that you would have said you saw. Not something that is almost word for word Asian style dragon.
Yep.
Just tiny little hands, you know, almost nothing for wings. Like a Dragon Ball Z dragon, where it's just the long serpent, dragon head. They have the little
claws,
tiny claws, tentacled, almost mustached. It just seems weird that from that area you would be.
Yeah.
The stories of that out of China. Well, yeah, that makes sense because that's their traditional style of dragon. If you're going to make up a story, that's what it would be. Same thing with whales. If you're going to make up a story about a dragon, you're going to make it look like a European style dragon.
See, but I think Matthew Riley, I have to say this about Matthew Riley, I think he's shill because he did that one book with the dragons, The Greatest Zoo.
Oh, yeah.
Great Zoo of China.
Yep.
You guys want, if you like books
really
and you book. Like dragons, read The Great Zoo of China by Matthew Riley. It is so good.
Yeah. Lays heavily into science,
the
science end of things. And really fantastic. If you like dragons, it's a fantastic book. Really good.
Yeah, it's just good. Go read it.
I think I still have your copy here.
I think you do. I was actually going to borrow that from you so I could read
on my shelf.
Yeah, I know. Give my book back.
Yeah, fantastic book.
You give me my book back, I'll give you back your book.
Which is, when I saw like the stuff coming out of China, I was like, holy shit, did they actually make the zoo? Was that what he was writing about?
One escape. One escape.
Right. Like, oh no. Oh no.
Yes. We gotta find an island with the yellow dragons.
Ugh, terrifying. Goddamn terrifying.
All right. Have you got anything else for these wonderful folks?
No, man. I think that's all the flying we can do for one night.
All right, folks. Everybody have a good night. Be good to each other. Bye.